And we're holding on Lamed Zion Amud Bey's fourth line from the bottom. We started talking about a din in the Mishnah that an Eved Kanani belonging to one Yid was captured by Goyim and then a different Yid ransomed him. So we said, the Mishnah had said depends on whether, the Tanakhama had said depends whether he ransoms him as an Eved or as a free person. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, either way, it doesn't matter. And we discussed in the Gemara two possibilities of understanding what scenario the Mishnah is talking about. We had Abaya saying that the original master has not yet had Yirush on the Eved. So therefore, according to the Tanakhama, if the first one ransoms him, having in mind that he's an Eved, then he goes back to the original master. If he had, if he bought him as a Ben Chorin, then, if he bought him as a Ben Chorin, then he goes free, because the second one certainly doesn't own him, and the first one we want to give people an incentive to ransom Avadim. So like this, in other words, Abaya takes the view there's not as much of a mitzvah to ransom Avadim as there will, at least Abaya takes the view that Tanakhama would say there's not as much of a mitzvah to ransom Avadim Kananim. Therefore, once the person, in effect, the new person is saying, the second person is saying, I'm only going to ransom him only if he's a Ben Chorin, so therefore we have to keep him a Ben Chorin, otherwise people aren't going to bother. Meanwhile, Rav Shimon Gamliel would be saying that either way, he would say there's a mitzvah to redeem Avodim as well, and therefore we don't need that extra incentive. Then according to Rava, we said, we're talking about that it's La'achal Yush. So if the second one bought him as an Eved, then he can use him as an Eved. But if he bought him as a Ben Chorin, then neither one can use him as an Eved anymore. The second one bought him as a Ben Chorin, and the first one had Yush. Rav Shimon Gamliel would be saying that either way, he becomes an Eved based on what Chizkiah says, that we said that we don't want just the opposite. We don't want to incentivize Avadim to run away and join the army. Or join groups of bandits or whatever. So therefore, we want to keep him as an Eved as much as possible. So now the Gemara continues. So what are we saying? According to Rava, we're talking about it's after Yush, and now he belongs to the second. Now he belongs to the second master. Because the first one had Yush, so now the new person who bought him as an Eved, then Rava is saying, the Chachamim are saying that now the second one is allowed to keep him as an Eved. The question is, Rabbi Miman Koni Lev, who did that second master, that second owner, who did he buy him from? Mishabai, he bought him from the guy who captured the Eved in the first place. Well, Shabai Gufa Mikoni Lev, how did the captor come to own him in the first place? What kind of kinyan did he make? It wasn't his Eved, so the same way you wouldn't say, for example, if a person steals something and you buy it from him, then it's a valid kinyan. So what kind of kinyan did the captor make on this Eved? The question is not so much the fact that he stole him. The question is, does the Shabbai really own him to that extent? And the answer is, yes, Koni Lele Maisi Yodav, he owns him as far as his Maisi Yodav. So now, in other words, the Eved originally belonged to Reuven. A Shabbai stole him. Now kidnapped him, whatever. Now Shimon is buying that Eved. So now the, in between, the Shabbai owns the Maisi Yodav of the Eved. So now Shimon is buying that right from the Shabbai. The fact that he now owns the Eved, fine, that's because of Yush, but the point is, the Shabbai, the Goy himself, owned the Eved in between to a certain extent, as the Gemara is going to now establish. He doesn't own the goof of the Eved, but he does own his Maisi Yodav, the fact that he has the rights to the Eved's earnings, or whatever he makes, or whatever. In fact, by the way, Rishonim point out, on one level, we can say the question is really only on Rava. Really, on the surface, we could say the question is on Abaya as well. But Abaya says, what did Abaya say? That there can be, when the second one bought him as a Ben Chorin, then, within Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion, we said that Ben Kach Yishtaber, So he'll work for the, oh no, yeah, he says that in the case where he bought him as a Ben Cholin and then he goes free, you could, on the surface, ask the same question on Abaye as well. What makes it, what gives him the right to now own that Eved to the extent that now he goes free? But okay, since Rava is the one who more clearly said, one answer is, since Rava is the one who more clearly said that the second one now is allowed to work with him, so therefore the Gemara presents the question on him and not so much on Abaye. But anyway, so the question is, So what kind of kinyan was there that removes the original owner's ownership? And the answer is yes, the Shabbai makes such a kinyan. The Amar Rish Lakish, as in fact Rish Lakish says, Minayim lo Ovid Kachavim, Shekona asa Ovid Kachavim l'maisi yadav. When we have over here Ovid Kachavim, obviously it's really one of those, but it's really one of those places where it's supposed to say Goyu Nochri or something like that, and then the censors changed it. Anyway, how do we know that one Goy is able to own another Goy to the extent of maisi yadav? So he doesn't actually own the goof of the other goy, but he's entitled to his maisi yadav. So where do we know that? So where do we know that from? Shenema the gam mibnei hatashavim agorim mimochem. The pasuk says also from the children of the goyim who are residing in Eretz Yisrael, who live among you. From them you're allowed to buy. So what's mehem tiknu means? Means atim koinim mehem, you Jews are able to buy avodim from them, and they become fully yours. You even own their guf. But the loyhein koinim mikem, but vice versa, goyim are not able to acquire the guf of the Yisrael. So as the Braisa is going to go on to say, they can own their maisi yadav, but no more than that. And similarly, the goyim are not able to acquire an eved one from the other in that way. So, in other words, again, when you have an eved who, when you have a Jew who is an eved to a goy, or one goy is an eved to another goy, then he only owns his maisi yadav. He has the right to the other person's earnings, but he doesn't own his actual goof. So Rashi points out the nafkamina of that is, let's say, so you have an eved that belongs to a goy. If now that eved were to run away and become a ger, he would be right away allowed to marry a Jewish woman. We wouldn't say he needs a get shichur. Further down on the Amud, we're going to say that an eved of a Jew, even if he runs away, eventually he requires a get shichur in order to allow him to marry a Bas Yisrael, but that's because the yid owns the actual goof of the eved, but a goy does not, so therefore that would be the difference. So the Braisa continues, Yochol lo yiknu zeh zeh. So you would think they can't acquire one another as avodim. And the Gemara interjects before we even continue what the Braisa is going to say. What do you mean, Yochol lo yiknu zeh zeh? Ha'amet lohem konim zeh zeh. You just said they can't. So yeah, they can't. What is the Braisa saying? What it means is, Hochi karma. The Braisa means, Velohem konim zeh zeh gufoy. So one goy is not able to acquire another one as far as his goof. To say that his goof should belong, that the goof of one goy should belong to another, that doesn't happen. So now then, the question is that yochol lo yiknu zeh zeh b'maisi yadav. So you would think maybe even insofar as maisi yadav, maybe the pasuk is giving us a miut that a goy can't own another goy even as far as maisi yadav. So how do we know that they could? So amar ta kal v'chomer. The answer is you can make a kal v'chomer to show that they could. A goy is able to acquire even a yid as an eved, because we have psukim over there in Parshas Bahar after it talks about a yid sells his property and he has to borrow money and you're not allowed to lend him at ribis and so forth, and eventually it talks about that he may have to sell himself as an Eved. First it talks about him selling himself as an Eved Ivri to a Yid, and then it talks about him selling himself as an Eved to a Goy. So we see, therefore, a Goy is able to be Koina a Yid as far as his Maisi Yadav, because the Pasuk clearly entertains such a possibility and says what the dinim are. You have to work to buy him back, to ransom him from the Goyish master, but if not, then he stays there until Yovel. So Ovid Kachavim, like Koshkin, how much more so that one goy would be able to buy another goy in so far as Maisi Yadav. Okay. Within that, there are different Rishonim that talk about exactly what exactly is the difference. So in effect, in other words, one way of looking at it is the Yid is basically the Yid is almost like a mashkin for the debt that he owes the Goy. The Goy bought him with money. So now the Yid is in effect like a living mashkin for that. So for example, if the Goy wanted to forgive the debt, then the Yid would go automatically free. Another way of understanding it is that he does have an actual kinyan. If he wants that the yid should go free, it's not enough to just be moichel d'choyd. He would actually have to tell him you're free to go. Maybe even write him and get shichur. Whatever. Anyway, the point is that but the point is yes. So we see that one goy can own another one as far as ma'isi yada, but not as far as his goof. So therefore, that's what we're saying. So now, when this goy goes and then kidnaps an eved from one yid and sells him to another, so he had a certain degree of kinyan on that eved as far as ma'isi yada, and he's able to sell that to the second yid. So that explains what Rava is saying, that you could have a case, so as long as it was after Yiyush, then the second one is able to keep him as an Eved because he bought that right from the Shabbai. Okay, so the Gemara asks, the Eva Hani Mila B'Kaspa, okay, so you could say maybe that is when a Goy buys an Eved with money, then fine, then he owns him as far as Maisa Yadav. Because after all, the Pesukim over there in Parashas Bahar described that scenario. You're buying an Eved Kanani with money, or a Goy is buying an Eved Kanani or an Eved Ivri with money. And in fact, when it comes to buying the yid, which is what you were using as the basis of the Kal V'Chomer, we're talking about he was bought with money. You have the pasuk clearly mentions over there, mikesef miknasa, the money that he was bought with. So you could say if he paid money, sure, avo b'chazaka loy. But where do we see maybe not with chazaka? Maybe if a goy just grabs a hold of another goy, or in this case of an eved of a yid, maybe that's not enough for him to be koina that eved. And if that's the case, then how can Rava be saying that the second one has the right to use him as an eved? The answer is, what kind of chazaka are we talking about over here? Rashi explains that we mean what we mean by chazaka is the kind of thing where you make the person work for you as an eved. For example, you make him put on your clothes, or you make him dress you, or put on your shoes, or whatever. So those kinds of things are considered, Rashi says, those kinds of things are considered a chazaka, and now the guy is officially an eved. And Rashi adds the point. Now, when it comes to, now we know there was a kinyan on land, there's a kinyan of chazaka, but that's between one yid and another. A goy wants to buy land from a yid, he has to pay money. There's no such thing as acquiring the chazaka, so why should he be able to acquire an eved with chazaka? Tosfos says that no, that kind of chazaka that Rashi is referring to as far as an eved is not the way you buy the eved. That's how once you've bought the eved, then you do that chazaka on him. So rather, Tosfos says that no, when we say chazaka over here, we just mean the chazaka of that you captured or conquered him in war. So the question is, where do we see that a goy has the ability to do that, to fight a war and take spoils, or in this case, to be coming with armed bandits or whatever, and then grab an eved? Where do we find that sort of thing should give him rights over anything that he takes? And the answer is, Amar Papa Amar Amor of Taru B'Sichan. The answer is, consider what happened with the lands, with some land belonging to Amar and Moyav, where it became Tahor for the Jewish people to take by Sichan capturing it. We know Hashem had told the Jewish people when they're passing through that area, don't fight against Moyav, don't fight against Amar, and don't try to take any of their territory. But meanwhile, some years earlier, Sichon had fought against those countries and taken part of their land that became his kingdom. And now the Jewish people are allowed to conquer it from Sichon, which they did. So we see that it became Torah for the Jewish people to take through Sichon. In fact, next week's Parashas Chukas, we have that whole story, but we also have that Torah is a continuation of that actually refers to over here, later on when the Ammonim are subjugating the Jewish people and then harassing them for many years, and Yiftach sends a message to Bnei Ammon, what do you want from us? And then the king of Ammon says, I want our land back. So Yiftach gives him a whole historical review of what happened. The gist of it being that yes, we captured those lands from Sichon, not from Amon and Moab, and therefore they're fair game for us to keep, and you have no rights to be demanding them back. Anyway, so we see that yes, a goy has the ability to make a chazaka on a piece of land, especially through conquest and war, we're saying over here, because that's exactly what Sichon did, and Halacha considers it to be his. So you see, therefore, by the same way, the Shabbai is able to acquire the Eved in the same way. Now, what does that have to do? I mean, this is Sichon conquering the land, not the people themselves. So Tosfos says, okay, listen, you know, we can assume the same way as they conquered their land with Chazaka, the same way also the people, the pastors, any people who lived in those places, Sichon took them, Sichon made them slaves of his. So therefore we see that he could do that as well. On the other hand, the Rashba says we don't really need that at this point. We just want to show that a goy has the ability to make a Kenyan Chazaka at all. Once we accomplish that, then fine, then we can discuss what kind of chazaka it was exactly, but we first need to establish that there even exists a Kenyan chazaka for a guy, which we do. Okay, well, Ashkechon Ovikachavim. Fine, so then that takes care of the case where one guy acquires another guy with chazaka. Whether Rashi's kind of chazaka of forcing him to work as an eved, or Tosfos's kind of chazaka of actually fighting a war and winning it. But where do we see from that one yid that a goy has the ability to acquire a yid in such a way with chazaka? And after all, an eved kanani is a half Jew as well. Once he belonged to Israel. And the answer is, we find, we have also in next week's parasha, that at one point, the Melech Arod, who Rashi tells us over there, based on a Gemara, was really a Moloch in disguise, came and fought against the Jewish people, and captured from them Shevi, a captive. So since the Pasuk is calling him Shevi, captive, then that implies that it actually belongs to him. So therefore, yes, we see that the act of capturing itself, or the act of doing a chazaka with him afterwards, can count as that, and therefore that he's actually considered now the property of the goy. Now the Ritva points out actually that now Rashi on the pasuk says that this Shevi was actually one Shivcha Knanis that belonged to a yid, and then the goyim captured her from the Jewish people, and then they say to Hashem, if you help me defeat this nation, I'll destroy their cities, and Hashem help them win the war. So the Ritva says evidently our Gemara that is disagreeing with that explanation, because the implication the Gemara is saying over here is that it applies only to that if we had only that, then you would show fine, a goy is able to capture an eved kanani from a yid and it becomes his eved. Where would we see that it applies to a free yid? So evidently, then you would say that the Gemara over here is disagreeing with that drasha on the pasuk. On the other hand, there are other Mephoroshim who say not necessarily. Once we establish that they have the ability to do that, even with a Shivcha Knanis, then the same thing would apply even to a full fledged yid. Tosfos points out why do we need all these various proofs? We had several different proofs then that a goy is able to acquire a yid. Why don't we just start with Vayish Mimenu Shevi? That shows that they can acquire even with Chazaka. Now we don't need Amun Umayav Taru B'Sichon, and we don't need the rest of that. And the answer is, because the fact is, Vayish Mimenu Shevi doesn't mention any Kenyan. Because we find Amun Umayav Taru B'Sichon, therefore that makes it possible for us to understand, Vayish Mimenu Shevi means that now the Shifcho, whoever it was that they captured, actually belongs to them. So therefore we really need both psukim, and then in addition we have the previous one that shows that a goy is able to acquire a yid. There it makes it more clear that it applies even to a ben chorin. The truth is, actually, there are Rishonim who learn, the Ramban learns that if a goy captures a yid, he does not, in fact, own him, even as far as Maisa Yadav, You can't acquire him without his Ratzon. Whereas the Rashba disagrees, the Rashba and we see over here the Rashba over here disagrees and says that he would be able to acquire even a yid of Ben Chorin, and therefore according to them, if another yid does pidyon shvuyim, he would be entitled to use that yid that he redeemed as a slave. In fact, the Rashba says maybe even that yid would need a shtar shichru. So, okay, different other rishonim are uncertain about that point. But in any case, so now we've established that a goy is able to acquire definitely another goy, also an eved knani or shichru knanis, and even according to some rishonim, maybe he can even acquire another yid. To the extent of ma'aser, well, he can acquire another yid. That everybody agrees to, based on the Gemara over here. Whether now he can acquire him to the extent of that he can now sell him to another yid, and the other yid is considered his owner, that you have this discussion among Rishonim. But in any case, we've shown therefore that yes. So now, when an eved belonging to Reuven is kidnapped by a goy, by a shabai, and sold to Shimon, then yes, the goy had a certain ownership of an eved, which now he transfers to Shimon, and that would be why the Mishnah is saying that now the second one, that Shimon, is now able to use him as an eved. Okay. So the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Shimon ba'Abba Amar Rav Yechonan. Eved shebarach mibeis ha'asurim, if an eved knani was captured by these goyim, and then he escaped from jail, yotze l'cheiros, then automatically he goes free. Now he becomes fully free because his master had yush from him. So now he doesn't go back to his original Jewish master. Not only that, but at this point, he forced his original master, the Yid, to write him out a get shichru so that he should, now he should be able to marry a bas yisrael. So the Gemara says, why? Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel and Ben Kach Yishtabed. We said that Rav Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah says that whether the second Yid bought the Eved, having in mind that he's an Eved or having in mind that he's free, either way, Ben Kach Ben Kach Yishtabed, either way he goes back to being an Eved, according to Abaya, we were talking about that he goes back to the first, to the original master. According to Rava, it means since it's after Yush, he goes to the second one, because now the first one no longer owns him. But in any case, Rav Shimon Gamliel says that, and the halacha should be like him. Because v'omer Rava babachana omer Rav Yechonan, kol makom sheshana Rav Shimon Gamliel b'mishnaseinu, anywhere throughout Mishnayos, and specifically Mishnayos we mean, as opposed to Brisos, where Rav Shimon Gamliel says the halacha k'moise, Rav Yechonan says the halacha is like him, with the exception of three dinim, where the simon for them is orev, these are the key words for them. Orev is a case in Bava Basra involving getting paid back by an orev for a loan in going after the orev instead of the loiva. There's a scenario over there where Rav Shimon Gamliel will say that so the way normally the halacha is where if the loiva has resources, you have to go after him first. Only if he can't afford it, then you go after the orev. You have a case over there where to begin with, he said, when he took out money, when he gave the loan, I'll get paid from whichever I want. So the Tanakhama says, fine, in that case, he can go after the order first. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, even then, he has to go after the lawyer first. His tenai is ineffective. So that would be one case. The halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Another one is Sidon, is a case later on in Or Masechta involving a get with a certain tnai. Uraya Achroina is a case in Sanhedrin where the Beis Din tells a person, if you have any proofs or any edim, bring them to Beis Din. And the guy says, I don't have any. And later on he finds some. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says he can still bring them. And the Chacham say no. But in any case, on Mishnah is not one of those three cases. Therefore, the halacha should be like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So the Eved goes back to being an Eved. What do you mean? You're telling me that if the Eved runs away from the captors, then now he's free. So Bishleimel Abaya. So according to Abaya's understanding of on Mishnah, then it's not a question under Bechanan. Muki lo lahai lifnei yush. He will explain that Rav Shimon Gamliel's din, the whole Mishnah, he says, is talking lifnei yush. V'hai la'achar yush, whereas Rav Yechanan is talking about la'achar yush. So therefore, that's the difference. If it was before yush, if it was before Yirush, then he goes back to being a slave as an Amishnah. Rabbi Yochanan is saying, after Yirush, look, the first Eved, the first master, doesn't own him anymore anyway, because he had Yirush. At that point, we force him to write a Get Shichur so the guy can marry a Bas Yisrael. But Rava says that our Mishnah is also talking La'acha Yush, Kasha de Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Yechanan. So isn't Rabbi Yechanan contradicting himself? He's saying the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but now he's saying, on the other hand, in this case, the Eved no longer belongs to the first master. So the answer is, Amalach Rava. The answer is, Rava can explain to you, Taima Mai, look, according to my understanding of the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, why is it that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would say he goes back to the first master? Mishum Dechizkia is based on Chizkia's point that we said before in the Gemara, that we learned yesterday, that we don't want the Eved, we don't want to give an Eved an incentive that he can just free himself so easily by going and running away and joining the army. So therefore we want that if we get him back, then he continues to be an Eved. But now, in this case, Rava would say, Bereach Shiny. It's different when he ran away from the Goyim. Pashkalak Tola Moser Nafshe. After all, he's putting his life in danger. Apuli Apple Nafshe Lagayosis. Is he going to be the type to go and, is this Eved going to be the type to go and try to join gangs of armed bandits or whatever, where then he's putting himself in danger. So therefore, there's less of a concern with that. But it's well, brings two possibilities what the Gemara means by that. One is that putting himself into gaiosis itself involves a certain inherent danger. After all, being in a gaius, whether a gaius means an official battalion of the army, whether it means a group of bandits or whatever, such a life is very risky. So if we see that he's running away from jail in order to avoid staying by them, we can be sure he's not the kind who would have to begin with been makalats in the gaiosis. So therefore we don't have to apply chizki as din in that case. Therefore, we could say in this case he goes free, unlike the regular case where we don't want to give him the idea of, hey, I can go join the gaiosis and then I'll be free. Or the other way, the ritual says, the other way around, when escaping from jail is pretty risky. If they catch him, they'll kill him. So if we see that he's escaping from jail, and then we can see that he's not afterwards going to go and be makalal gaiosis, because that would defeat the purpose. What did he get out of jail for in the first place? And he wants to save his life. So therefore there's no problem if we tell him go back and be an Eved. He's not going to say, well, fine, in that case, I'd be better off with the gaiosis, because if that's the case, he would have just stayed there with them to begin with instead of risking his life to run away. Okay, so no contradiction between Rabbi Yochanan's statements. We would say normally the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and the Eved goes back to his first master. If it was la'acha yirush rather than he would go to the second master, or even maybe in this case to the first one, we would ignore the yirush. So, in fact, Tosfos says actually that Rava would say that sure, if the second one bought him as an Eved, then yeah, the second one gets to keep him. But if he bought him as a Ben Chorin, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, we ignore that, and he goes back to the first master because of this problem of Makalats Malagayosis. So now we're saying, but in this particular case where he ran away from jail, then that wouldn't apply, and therefore, in fact, he does go free. The Gemara continues, Amsei Demar Shmuel Ishtaboy. It happened once that a maidservant, a Shivcha Knanis, belonging to Shmuel, was captured by Goyim. Parkul Shum Amhosa. So other Yidden did pinion Shmuel, and they bought this Shivcha, intending for her to remain a Shivcha. And they sent the Shivcha back to Shmuel. But now, Shohulei, they also sent him a message. They wanted to know who is the halacha like. Anan Kirab Shimon Gamliel Sviralon. We hold like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, so therefore that's why we sent her back to you. As far as you, Shmuel, I Nami Kirabon and Sviraloch, whether you hold like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel or whether you hold like the Chachamim, you should know. Anan Lashumam Hasab, Hakinam Lon Yala, we had redeemed her from the Goyim, having in mind that she should remain a Shivcha, so therefore, So they're saying, in other words, you should know, she's remaining a Shivcha regardless. We hold like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and as far as you, it doesn't really matter. Either way, she still belongs to you. So the Gemara asks, so the Gemara points out, now they were all, these people who sent her with this message to Shmuel, they thought that all of this had been, that all of this had been lifnei Yush. They thought Shmuel had not yet had Yush on the Shitcha yet, so therefore that's why they returned her. Veloihi, in fact, it wasn't so. La'acha Yushava, it was in fact after Yush. So what happened was, when Shmuel got her back, so not only did Shmuel not keep her as a shivcha because he had already had Yush on her, he didn't even require her to have a get shivcha. She's considered once she was captured and he was miyayish of her, then automatically she goes free right on the spot. She doesn't even need a get shivcha Shmuel held in order for her to marry a ben Yisrael. Tosfos points out, of course, that that would mean that Shmuel had to have held like a bayin. If he held like Rava, then we would have to say she would require a get shichru, because after all, Rava had said that the second people are in fact able to keep him as an eved. So that would require a get shichru. But anyway, so we see that Shmuel held like Abaya's understanding of our Mishnah. So he said that the dinim of our Mishnah of Yishtabed or not apply only lifnei Yush, la'acha Yush. In fact, it goes free. And the Gemara says Shmuel v'taymei. Shmuel is going according to his own svara in that. Dorma Shmuel, ha'master af abda yotza l'cheiros. Shmuel says if a person declares his slave hefker, then he automatically goes free. The ainet tzarach get shichur. And he doesn't even require a get shichur. Kenema, as the pasuk says, b'chol eved ish miknas kosef. B'chol eved ish miknas kosef. The pasuk says, any eved of a person who was bought by money. So the pasuk goes on to say, you have to give him a bris milah, and then he's allowed to eat from the korban pesach. But why does it say eved ish miknas kosef? What do you mean, eved ish v'lo eved isha? Does this din only apply to an eved of a man, not of a woman? Of course not. And the same din applies equally well. So why does the pasuk say ish? Ella eved sheyesh l'rushus l'rabe olav kari eved. Rather, Shmuel learns that it means that any eved whose master has control over him, kari eved, is called an eved. So only if he's eved ish, only if there's a man who actually has rushus over him. Eved she'in l'rushus l'rabe olav en kari eved. Whereas Shmuel says an eved whose master has no rushus over him anymore. In this case, because he declared him hefker, or in Shmuel's case, because he was minyash from him, then he goes free. He's not considered an eved anymore, and he doesn't even require a get shichur. Now Tosfos points out there would be a difference in general, of course, an eved kani requires a shkar shichur in order to allow him to marry a bas yisrael. But over here we're saying that there are cases where a shtar would be needed, namely where he tells him, for example, you're on your own. If he tells him you're a ben chorin or you're on your own or whatever, then he has to write a shtar to confirm that. But it's true. Tosfos says if he actually takes away his hefker, then Shmuel would say you don't even need a shtar for that, and he just goes free automatically. Actually, Tosfos Yishonim points out that there might be there might still be cases, even according to Shmuel, where you still need a shtar, where being mafker him is not enough. But basically, we're saying that in general, being mafker him, Shmuel is saying, would be enough, and you don't need anything further. Okay. Another case, the Gemara says, Am Hose Drab Abba Bar Zutra, Drab Abba Bar Zutra Ishtaboi, a maidservant, a Shif Klanis, belonging to Drab Abba Bar Zutra, was captured by Goyim. A certain person from Talmud, Rashi says it was a goy from Talmud, bought her from the Shabbai, Lashum Itza, having in mind that he's going to marry her. He's a goy, he's allowed to marry a Shikha Knams. So then they sent the Chachamim sent to the Abba a message telling him what he should do. Eos Avdus, they tell him, if you want to do the right thing, Shadova Gita de Chirusa, send her a get shichur. And that way she won't be a shichur knanis anymore. So, Gilly in a shaft actually that Akiva Eggers wonders actually why he would even how even a get shikru could work in that case where he doesn't have the ability to get her back from this fellow from Talmud. But here the Gemara is saying that apparently that's how it is. He could send her a get shikru. Well, the Gemara asks why. If the story is that conceivably that Jews could buy her, could buy her from the guy, or even from the seller from Talmud who wants to marry her, so why give her a get cherus? Just rebuy her, have her continue to be a shivcha knanis, and her baba will continue to own her. The idol and motsu parkula, and if the scenario is we're not able to, the fellow from Talmud is really in love with her or whatever, and he dafka wants her as a wife, and there's nothing you can do about it. So kishodol get to the chirus and I have it. What's the difference whether you send her a shtar shichur? She's under his possession anyway. So what good does it do? She's under the control of the goy anyway. A shtar shichur is not going to make a difference one way or the other. What do you mean? She's now going to become a free Bas Yisrael. The guy has her under his power anyway. How are you helping with that? So the answer is La'olam de Motsu Parakila. We are talking about, after all, where conceivably they could redeem her. Conceivably we could get the guy to agree on a price for her. So just the opposite. The Kivit de Meshadol Agita de Cherusa. Once you send her a get shichur, so now she's a free Jewish woman. Chaburi Mechabri Ahadadi or Parakila. Now the people over there will get together and put together money and be mashach for her, because now she's a full Bas Yisrael. So now, either fine, we said before that maybe there's a mitzvah to buy a Vodim Knanim as well, but still, people might figure, why should I bother? Let her stay. She's marrying a goy. What's the difference? Let her, instead of a shikhr knanim, she'll be a goy, so what do we care? But now, where Abba is sending her a get shikhr, and automatically, therefore, she's becoming a free Jewish woman, now that gives the people in that area a much stronger incentive to actually go and put their money together and redeem her and redeem her from the good. So that would be one answer. The Boyasema, another explanation you could say why sending a get shikhur would be effective. La'olam deloy matzu parkila. The case could be it's impossible to free her from this guy. He wants her as a wife no matter what. But the kivin de mashadala gets de cherusa. But if her Abba sends her a get shikhur, that's going to be different. Till now, as far as he knows, she's a regular goita. He doesn't know that she was a shifra. Now, when her Abba sends a get shichur, all of a sudden that makes this goy from Talmud realize, this Jewish woman is actually a shifcha. So then, the result is mitzala ba'ape. The result is that she'll be degraded in his eyes. The fact that she was a shifcha, then he might be more willing to let her go free. So now, after all, he'll be willing to sell her, and that way she doesn't remain married to this guy. So the man asks, why would that have an effect on him? So what if she's a shikha? Why would he care? Well, Amamar, don't we have a Gemara in Avodah Zarah? Chavivin lahem behemtem shayisrael yosim in ashisehem. That the goyim are more attracted for bestiality to Jews, animals, even than they are to their wives. So in other words, the Gemara discusses over there the point that a Yid is not allowed to have his animals stay in a goy's stable, because there's a concern that the goy might commit bestiality with it, which is one of the things that's also from Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. You're not allowed to give the goy an opportunity to do the issur l'fneiver. So therefore, the Gemara discusses over there, what if the goy has his wife with him? And the answer, it doesn't matter. He still might have more of a taiva for the Jew's animal even more than his own wife. So now, if he finds out that this woman was a shifcha, so what? Isn't he still, why would that cause her to be degraded in his eyes to the extent that he'd be willing to say, okay, fine, I'm willing to take money for her, and you can take her? The answer is, if one says, hani mila b'tzina, that's when it's in private. Then sure, they're going to be attracted even to an animal. Avum fahesia, but when it's in public, zila b'hu milsa, they would consider it beneath their dignity to be marrying a shifcha, and therefore, so if he finds out that he's a shifcha, then he's more likely to say, forget about it, then I don't need to marry her, you can buy her back. So therefore, so there's two possibilities why Abba sending a get shifcha would help. Depending whether we're talking about the goy to begin with would have been willing to sell her versus not. Okay. Another case involving a shifcha, This one is not the, now we're not talking anymore right now about the, about a shifcha being captured. Now we're talking about a more general din of a person freeing his shifcha. Hahi amsa dehavas bepumadisa. There was a shifcha knanis in pumadisa. Dehavu kama abdi ba inshi isura. Men were committing isurim with her. Because they're, she was available to them for znus. So men, Jewish men, were being mezana with her. So Omer Abaye, he loved Omer of Yehuda Amashmo, called Mashachar Abda Oyve Be'ese. So Abaye says, you know, if it weren't for the fact that Rabbi Yehuda tells us in the name of Shmuel that if a person frees his Eved Knani, the Shifcha Knanis, without a good reason, then right now we don't even know that a good reason is needed. B'chla, we would say Oyve Be'ese, that Rabbi Yehuda said he's over on an Ese, because the Pasuk says, La'olam Bahem Ta'avoidu, you should have them work for you forever. So to be Mashachar and Eved would be a violation of that. So Abaye says, if it weren't for that, having a kayifna, lay the mara, I would force this shikha's master, the kosev, the gita de chirusa, that he should write her a get shikha, and that way she'll become a regular bas Yisrael, and now she can marry a Yisrael, and he'll make sure that she won't be mizana in the future. So Abai is saying, in this case, there's really nothing we can do about it. But if we were to make him be mishachar, he would be oivan and esa. On the other hand, Ravina Omar, Ravina says, actually, no, in this case, we could use that din. Moide Rabbi Yehuda, Mr. Milsa de Isura, Rabbi Yehuda would agree where there's an Isur involved in this case that's being machshil people, that yes, you can, that would be a valid reason to override the usual din that you're not allowed to free an Eved or a Shifcha. There is some interesting discussion about this, first of all, you have sometimes we say a concept, we don't say to a person, we don't tell a person, you do an Aveira in order to save somebody else from an Aveira. So why over here would Ravina say we should tell the person you be over on a mitzvah saseh in order to save other people from Aveira? So there are explanations. The Ritva says that from here you see that the whole thing is only an Isur Dirabanan. In fact, soon we're going to see an example where we override it in order to accomplish another mitzvah Dirabanan. So that would be, on the other hand, there are other Rishonim who learn that it is in fact Daraisa, but they learn that Ramban and others say it's part of the mitzvah of Loisachonim. You're not allowed to give a gift to a goy for free. So in that case, just to be mashachar them without a good reason would be over on that. But here, when there's a good reason, now when you're doing it in order to save people from Isser, then that would work. The chinuch, by the way, the sefer achinuch is an interesting explanation. Why should the Torah not want you to free an Eved Knani? And he says the reason is because, after all, the Jewish people are supposed to be higher than the other nation, and that means we should have people who are available to work for us, to do our menial labor, so that Jews themselves don't have to do it. So if you go and free Avodim Knani and willy-nilly, then you're making it. After all, somebody has to do your work for you. So the result is you're making it that a fellow Yid is going to have to do it, and it's not right. So anyway, so Abaye is saying in a case over here of Isser is not reason enough to override that, whereas Rabin is saying it is. Well, the question is, does Abaye not agree that where there's a matter of Isser involved, like this, where they're being mezana with her, that's not good enough reason to free her? It happened once with a certain woman, a shifcha knanis, who was half free and half slave and half free. We're going to talk about that case of half free and half slave more in a couple of blot. But one way that can happen is if she had two owners and one of them freed her and the other one didn't. Another possibility, according to some Tanoim, would be where the owner himself, where there was only one owner and he accepted money for half the value of the Eved or the Shifcha. But we'll talk about that in a couple of blocks. There's Machlokes Tanoim whether that works. But everybody agrees if she had two co-owners and one of them freed her, then she'd be Chetzi Shifcha v'Chetzi Basparin. Anyway, they forced her master to make her a bas chorin because otherwise she can't marry either an Eved or a Shifcha. Now we're going to learn in a couple of blocks that when it comes to an Eved Knani, you have this Shammah and this Hillel argued whether you do that, and this Hillel ended up agreeing with this Shammah that you force the master to redeem, to let him go free because otherwise he can't marry at all. Here we're talking about a woman, she doesn't have a mitzvah period of her, yeah? nevertheless, so why did they do that? So the Amr of Nachman took Min of Hefker Nagaba. You have the same scenario. They were treating her as Hefker. They would be Mizana with her. And therefore, they forced her master to free her. So we see that for a Dvar Avera, that when there's an Avera involved, you do that. So why doesn't Abaya agree to that? The answer is, the Gemara says, Hochi Hashka. How are you comparing the two cases? The fact is, they are being a chetz yeshivcha, the chetz basfurin. She can't be married to an eved or to a free yid, because the half of her that's a shivcha can't be married to a yid, and the half of her that's free can't be married to an eved. So there's nobody she can be married to. Therefore, it's much more likely that she's going to be mezana, and there's nobody to keep her from doing that. Over here, in the case where she was a full shifta, Abaya would say, fine, let the master designate her in marriage for one of his avodim, and that Eved, her husband, will now watch her and make sure she's not mizana in the future. So Abaya says, you know, to go to the drastic step of making the master free her, where it's going to be, where he's over on that mitzvah saseh, after all, when you have a better alternative of just having her marry one of his avodim. In the case of Rabbi Yitzchak, where that was impossible, then yeah, the only choice is to force the master to free her.
Why was it impossible? Because she's half
and half. Because she's half and half, and she can't marry either an Eved or a Shifra. Yeah. She can't marry either an Eved or a Ben Churin. Okay.
So it must... Taking the Torah to an Eved, it's like taking someone can be a Jew and making her, you're giving it to...
No. Well, if she's married to an Eved Kanani, she's still a Shifra Kanani. She still has all the mitzvahs.
So the other hand,
if she would marry Ben Churin, she'd be a full-fledged Yid, but only as a Bas Churin can she do that. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Gufa. Getting back to what we just said, Omer of Yehuda Amashmol, Kalam Shakra Avda Uberbaser, person frees his slave, he's over on a mitzvah sasa'ech, and Emel Olam Behem Tavoidu. So the Gemara says, basically, now I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Maisa Rabbi Eliezer Shenichnas Rabbi Sakneses. It happened once with Rabbi Eliezer that he came to Shul. Volei Motza Asara. He couldn't find 10 feet. There was no minion there in Shul. V'shichra Avdei V'shlim Asara. So on the spot, he was Meshachar his Eved Kanani, and he became the 10th for the minion. So how could he do that if there's an Eved? If there's an issue to do that. If there's a mitzvah to say not to do that. And the answer is, mitzvah shiny, it's different when there's a mitzvah involved. So here, this is subject to the machlokas we were just talking about, the Rishonim. What's the underlying idea of this thing, of the Olam Behem Ta'avodu? Is it only a mitzvah d'rabbanon? In that case, then the same chachamim who said not to do it can say, in the case of mitzvah, then you can override that.
Shows
the power of a minion, of course. Or you could say that, even if it's daraisa, it's because of lois lechonim, don't do it for nothing. Well, here it's not for nothing. That's a mitzvah. On the other hand, Tosfos says that maybe what we mean is only whether and only whether there's a mitzvah derabim, only whether there's a mitzvah that affects the public, then you would say that's enough to override the mitzvah of Olam Behem Tavodu. In this case, it's for the rabim, for them to be able to daven with a minion. In the case of the Shifcha Knanis that we were just talking about, it was a mitzvah derabim because rabim would be nichshol with her, but not necessarily where it's just for an individual to be able to fulfill a mitzvah to say that might be reason enough to free an eved. Tosfos says not. Tonan Abbanon, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says, Olam Behem Tavoidu, you should have them work for them for you forever. Rishus Divir Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel holds, that's not saying a mitzvah that you have to keep them forever. It's saying optionally, unlike an Eved Ivri, who goes free after 6 years, or at Yovel, as the case may be, an Eved Kanani you could keep forever. Rabbi Akiva on Mechoiva. Rabbi Akiva says, no, the Pasuk is telling you it's an actual obligation to keep them as an eved forever.
Sure, like some of that without meaning really.
Why? It could mean the Olam Behem Tavodu. You're allowed to. An eved ivri, the pasuk is saying before that, an eved ivri you can only keep for a certain amount of time. Rashi says that you're going to wonder, so who's going to work for me? An eved ivri I can't have permanently. An eved knani, the seven nations of knani you have to wipe out, so who's going to work for me? So fine, the Torah is telling you have the concept of an eved knani from other nations. By the way, we call him Knani because Eved Avodim Yil Echav, but really an Eved Knani is somebody who comes from some other nation. If he comes from one of the seven nations of Knan and lives in Eretz Yisrael, then you have to wipe him out. But anyway, so the Pasuk could be saying that just to reassure you, don't worry, you're not going to have to do without Avodim, as the Sefer HaChinuch says. You're an Am, you're a Mamlachas Kohen and Begoy Kodesh. Who are you going to have? Do your menial work for you. Don't worry, you'll have Avodim to do it. But Rabbi Akiva is saying it's an actual mitzvah. So the Gemara asks, now that we know that Rabbi Shmuel says it's not a mitzvah in the first place, the Duma Rabbi Eliezer Savalak Manda Amar Rishus, why did we have to just answer that Rabbi Eliezer freed his slave because mitzvah shiny, because different when there's a mitzvah to be accomplished? Why don't we just say more straightforwardly? He holds like Rabbi Shmuel that there's no mitzvah in the first place to not free an Evan. The answer is, Loi Sakadai, you can't think that way. The Tanya behavior, Rabbi Eliezer and Chayva. We learn clearly in a Braisa that Rabbi Eliezer says it's Chayva, like Rabbi Akiva, so therefore we can't say, so therefore according to him, it is in fact a requirement to keep the Eved Kanani, so therefore only when mitzvah shiny, only then can we override that. Okay, so the Gemara says, by the way, Omar Rabba Bahani Tlas Mili Nasi Balabatim Minichsehan. There's because of three things that Balabatim do that causes them to lose their wealth. number one, the Maki Avdai Lechirusa, that they free their Avodim, and therefore they're over on this mitzvah sase that we just said. Or deciding Nechsayo B'Shabza, also that they look over their property on Shabbos to see what needs to be fixed and what needs to be done with it after Shabbos. So they have the opposite story. One second, we'll talk about what Marashal says about the Chosid Echad. Right. So Me'ikra Din, so now the technical halacha is, Dibur Osu Hirhu Mutu. You're not allowed to talk about such things on Shabbos. In principle, you're allowed to think about them, but nevertheless, the fact that they're making a regular practice of it causes them to lose their wealth. And the third one, and the third one is that they arrange their Shabbos meal at the time when the Chacham is darshaning in shul, and meanwhile they're sitting at their meal. They should either be having their meal earlier and later, so that they and their guests can go to the drasha and hear practical Hilchos Shabbos or halachas of the appropriate to the time of the year that the Rav is darshaning. So we're talking about Shabbos.
But the already Shabbos already eats.
No. So we're talking about, in other words, on Shabbos itself. So let's say, for example, let's talk of it in terms of the Chacham being Gurdish, you know, back in the good old days of Chacham Zayin Adar, you know, if you know there's going to be a Fabrengen at 1:30 and you arrange that your Shabbos meal is called for 1:30, then that's what the Gemara is criticizing over here. Make your Shabbos meal earlier, or make it later after the Fabrengen is over. Same idea, yeah. There were two big families in Yerushalayim. One of them had their main meal on Shabbos at the time when the Chacham is Dirdish, and instead they're sitting at their meal, so therefore we're saying that's no good. The other one had their main Suda on Erev Shabbos. So Rashi gives two explanations. One is that they made their Friday night meal better than their Shabbos meal. So fine, they're trying to do that so that the daytime meal doesn't interfere with the Rav's Derasha. The problem with that is that the covered of the daytime meal of Shabbos is actually supposed to be better than the covered of the nighttime meal. So therefore they were making a mistake in that. That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi's second explanation is, and a number of other Rishonim agree with the second one as well, Erev Shabbos means literally that. They would have a big meal on Erev Shabbos, because you're not supposed to. You're supposed to go into Shabbos with an appetite, and they wouldn't do that. They would have big meals on Erev Shabbos. Rishonim point out that the Rashba points out that if you can have as a once occasional thing, then that's not so bad. You have, let's say, for example, you have a bris on Erev Shabbos or some other simcha like that. You have even, for example, there can be sometimes Purim comes out on Erev Shabbos and you have a meal then. That's fine. He was saying they were doing it with kvios. It was a regular thing. Anyway, the result was Ushnei and Nekru, both of those families were uprooted and there's nothing left of them. So we see that to act in these ways is no good.
Kiddush Friday night,
you make on a whole kiddush, and then we have a meal.
But you can make mashgul, so.
Fine, that's
good. I said that the night is more important than
the day. So as far as the kiddush, the nighttime kiddush is more important because that's daraisa, and the one by day is only the rabbanon. But as far as the meal, the Gemara tells us elsewhere that the meal should be nicer by day than it should be by night. The Rashi refers to where we're actually going to have something about that further. We're going to have something further about that on Daf Mem.
Okay.
Yeah. So, no, actually, I take that back. That mem is something else. No, it's a Gemara in Pesachim that says it's a Gemara in Pesachim that says Kvod Yom, Kvod Makvod Laila. As far as the Kiddush, yes, the one by night is Daraisa, the one by day is only the Rabbanon. But as far as the covered of Shat, as far as the covered with the meal, the one by day should be the more important one. So now, why Davka these three things? So Marsha says that the person himself, so when he frees his Eved where he's not supposed to, then he himself is taking away from his own Nechasim. He's being over on an Esser and reducing his own Nechasim, so the result is Hashem causes his Nechasim to get reduced in the future. When he's looking over his property on Shabbos, so that means that later on, he does the work on weekdays, it won't have a bracha in it. So now, you mentioned the Chosid Echad, so yeah, that's the exact opposite of that. The Chosid Echad saw that there was a breach in his fence on Shabbos, and his first thought was, I need to fix it. And then he said, you know what, I'm never going to fix it. And Hashem gave him a special bracha, so here it's the other way around. And then, and the third one, about having the Suda on Shabbos, is because, again, he's showing that his Suda, he considers his Suda to be more important than learning Torah, and therefore, in Malacha and Mesparecha, therefore there's no bracha in his Malacha, and therefore he ends up becoming poor. The Iyun Yaakov, and Ein Yaakov mentions another point. Each of these things shows a certain degree of stinginess. Why would he be freeing an Eved? Because he decides it's not worth to keep the Eved anymore. It's not worth to feed him anymore. The looking over his property on Shabbos, like he's so concerned with his wealth that he needs to focus on it even on Shabbos. And the one about when he has his main meal on Shabbos at the time of the drosha, if he's thinking, you know what, that way poor people won't come to my meal because they're going to be in there that way. I don't have to be machnas orach because they're going to be busy at the drosha. And so therefore, and he thinks, as far as Shabbos, he says, the vote is, he's thinking during the week, my time is precious, I don't have time, on Shabbos, I'm not doing anything anyway, so I might as well be Sionistic. So all of these that Iyun Yaakov says are showing that he's green. So therefore, yeah. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rav, Hamakdish Avdo Yotze L'Cheirus. If a person declares his Eved Hektish, then that Eved goes free. So my timer, why is that? Gufei L'Kaddish, the actual body of the Eved itself, cannot become hektish because he's not the goof of the Eved can't be brought on the Mizbeach, of course, and Bedek Abayis can't really use him either. On the other hand, Ladomi Loikomar, and he didn't say that I'm only being makdish the value of the Eved. Therefore, we have to assume that I have it, I'm Kodesh Komar, by saying that my Eved is hektish, he must have meant to say that he should be part of the Am Kodesh, which is the Jewish people. So Rashi points out, now it's one thing if you makdish a behemoth tmeya. Obviously it can't be part of the Am Kodesh, so therefore it must mean we have to reinterpret what he says. I'm not makdish it legufay, but only the domov. But over here, since there is a kedusha that's shayach to the goof of the Eved, then he should have clarified and said that it's ledomi rather than not, and if not, then it means he wants kedusha to be on the goof of the Eved himself.
Working
in the Beis Mikdash still, that would in effect mean that the Beis Mikdash owns only his ma'isi yodav and not his goof. So Tosfos discusses various details about that. So why don't we say, for example, that Hektish is that he's Kodesh to the extent where now Hektish can sell him to somebody else. And again, the answer is that, and then Tosfa says, because the Gemara is going to, you have a din, for example, that when a person is makpis tminim, lebedek habayis, if a person says that an animal that's a tam, that's able to be used as a korban, if he donates it to bedek habayis, then actually, it actually has to be brought on the mizbeach, the gizborim can't go and sell it to somebody else. So the same way over here, Tosfos compares it to that and says that it can't just be that we're talking about, that he's saying that he should belong to bedek habayis to the extent where he can sell it to somebody else. And then Tosfos goes on with various other details about it. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosef Omer Rav Hamafkir Avdei Yotzel Acheres. Rabbi Yosef says in the name of Rav differently that the vote is, if he says his Eved is Hefker, then he goes free, like we said on Omer Rav. So Manda Omer Makdish Koshkin Mafkir. Rabbi, who says that this din applies when he's being Makdish the Eved, he would say all the more so if he's Mafkir the Eved, that he goes free and doesn't need to get Shikhar. Manda Omer Makdish, but according to Rabbi Yosef, who says only if he's Mafkir him, he goes free, Abba Makdish Loi, he would say, but if he declares the Eved Hektish, then no, he does not go free. Dilma Ladomi Karma, because the fact is, maybe he did mean that only the value of the Eved himself becomes Kaddish, and not the Eved, and not the Eved himself. So it would be like when you mock the Shebehemat Meya to Benet Abayas or something. Okay. Well, Iboilahu. So now the question is, Sarach get Shikru Oloi, Oloi Sarach. Before we were saying, as a given, that if he's machu him, or according to Rabbi, if he's machu him, he doesn't need a get shichru, but is that in fact the case? Does he still need a get shichru after that or not? So Toshma, the Amr Chiba of an Amr Rab, Echadze, Yatzel Acheres, but Sarach get shichru. So in both cases, machdish or machdir, he does go free, but he requires a get shichur in order to be able to marry a Bas Yisrael. He still has a certain semblance of avdus on him to the extent where you can't marry a Bas Yisrael until he gets that get shichur. So the Gemara says, Omer Rabba, Omer Svinan Ashmaitin. So Rabba says, in that case, then we have the statement of Rabbi Omer Rav, and we have the statement actually that Rabba is saying that I just asked, that I just quoted in the name of Rabba, Machdish Abde Yotzel Acherus. So Rabba says, actually though, we have something that seems to contradict that. A Brisa says, Hamachdish Nechosim, if a person is Machdish his Nechosim, Vahoyu Behen Avadim, and among those Nechosim are slaves, the Gizborim themselves are not allowed to free the Avodim. Now, it is true, Rashi says, that usually you could have, not only, of course, other people can buy an Eved and free him, but you can even have the Eved himself can raise money if people give him money on condition that your master doesn't own this money, then the Eved can use that to buy his freedom. But the Gizborim, again, they don't own the actual body of the Eved. All they own is the Dumim, all they own is the Maisi Yadav of the Eved. So they don't have the ability to free, they don't have the ability to free the Eved. But they can sell the Eved to somebody else. And those other people, if they want, can free them. The Gizborim can sell the Eved to somebody else because they own the Eved to the extent of Maisi Yadav, and therefore they have the right to sell them to somebody else, and that somebody else would be able to that somebody else would be able to free them. Tosfos points out also that the reason is because to do it derech shichur would be people would be mezalzel. People are going to think that not people are going to be mezalzel. It's going to look like they undervalued hekdesh. What are you going and freeing the guy? You took money for him to free him. What, you take too little in order, because you said you want him to be free. So you can't do that. Hekdesh has to be sold at full price. So if you sell him, then fine. You're selling him to somebody else. The pastor is selling him at full price. Anyway.
The purpose of this is that the Hekdesh is built to have more, enough.
Yeah, this way the Hekdesh will have more money, and they can use it for the upkeep of the Smithish. The Braise can use Rebbe Omer. Omer Ani, Rebbe says, I would say, no, the Eved can, in fact, give money for himself, and then he goes free with Meshul Kamot Kreloi, because it's like he's, in effect, he's selling the Eved to himself. The point is, though, we see that the Gizborim do have the right to sell the Eved. So what do you mean that if you makdish the slave, then Yotzel Acherus? So that's what Rabbi is saying. I know I quoted in the name of Rab that Yotzel Acherus, but Rab seems to be contradicted by this Braisa. The Gemara says, what's the big deal? Must listen, Karomis Alei de Rab. You're bringing a Braisa against Rab. Rab, Tana Hu Poli. Rab is considered a Tana because he was on the cusp of the generation between the Tanoim and Amoraim, and therefore he's able to argue with a Braisa. So fine. The Braisa holds differently than Rab. No big deal. So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. A Braisa says, Ach ko cherem v'goyimim me'odam. The Pasuk says, any cherem that a person declares to Hashem as cherem, of anything that he has, and the Pasuk continues, me'odam, of people. So what kind of people? Eva avodav shevchosav ha'knanim. That means, as his eved knan, yoshevch knanis. And the Pasuk is saying that it's l'Hashem. You have a machlokas in various places in Shas. If a person says cherem, stam, does it mean, we learned this in Nidorim, among others, does it mean cherem l'Hashem, or does it mean cherem l'Koyen? Does it mean that it belongs to Bedek Abayis? So cherem is just another way of saying hektish, basically. Or does it mean it's a specific thing, one of the 24 matnas kahuna from this week's parasha that goes to the Koyen? Kol cherem b'Yisrael l'chol yiyah, like it says in this week's parasha. So there's a certain kind of cherem that goes to the Koyen. But here we're talking about cherem to Bedek Abayis. So we see that it has Lusha Bedek Abayis. So you have the same question. Now, you could say Rab Tana Hu Poli, but the difference is that the Mitzvah says here we're learning from a pasuk. So therefore, that's a much stronger limud, and you can't necessarily say that Rav is arguing on that. So what is it? So we see them. Eved or Shifcha Knani does have kedusha, and they belong to Bedek Abayis. Not like Rav said they go free. The answer is Chochma Yiskin and Amal Adami. The answer is that we're talking about, yes, if he said the Dumim of it belonged to Hekdesh, not saying the word Kedusha. If he says he's Kaddish, then like Rav said, he becomes part of the Un-Kaddish. He goes free and becomes a full-fledged Yid. But here we're saying if he didn't say those words, if he said the Dumim. So the Gemara says, Yehochi Idach Nami. In that case, then why do you have to infer the previous Braisa and say Rav is arguing with it? Just say in the previous Braisa, it was also where he said the Dumim. The answer is, in that case, how could that Bryce have said the Gizborim are not allowed to free them? Gizborim, my Abiditayu. What Gizborim? He doesn't, the Ebed himself never belongs to Hekdesh in the first place. He only says, Domov, a lie that I owe Hekdesh the value of the Ebed. So obviously, therefore, that Bryce cannot be talking about Domov. And similarly, the two and further, when the Braisa says, Abel Moichu Noisem Acherim, when they say it says they can sell the Eved to somebody else, Acherim Matzia Noisem Acherus, and the others can free them, again, Acherim Maya Betayah. What Acherim? They don't belong, they don't own this Eved in the first place. All he said was Dumb of a lie. The two and furthermore, Rebbe Omer Ani Achu Noisem Me'at V'Yotze, when Rebbe says he could even pay for his own freedom and goes free, they shall come Moichu Lo, because in effect, the Gizbar is just selling them to himself. The Ila Dummy, if it was talking about as far as money, again, my official commercial law, what's selling him? The Ebed was not Makudish in the first place. So the first Braisa, clearly, from all these proofs, the first Braisa cannot be talking about where the master said the Dummy. It has to be where it was Makudish to Ebed himself, and therefore we have to say Rav would disagree with that Braisa. The second Braisa, which didn't mention any of those points, there we could say that Braisa is talking about to begin with, he said that it should be Chirim only as far as Dummy. So then we're saying that that he's able to be makdish the dummim of his avodim, and those become chayrim lashem, or chayrim makoyim, as the case may be. Okay, so the Gemara tries another one. Toshma, ha makdish avdo, a person is makdish his slave, oisav oichel. The slave can still continue to do work and eat what he produces. We don't say that as mice and yodav are considered hektish. Shalahikdish alabdomov, because it was only makdish his value. So how would that fit with what Rav says that if he's makdish and he goes free? He was saying that he still remains an eved.
The money goes where?
So the money now is going to go to is going to go to the Beis Mikdash. Yeah. So the money, the value of the eved is going to go to the Beis Mikdash. Right. The fact that whatever money he earns, he can now eat. I mean, he gives the money to his master or whatever, but he's able to continue eating. He's able to continue producing and working. His ma'isi yodav don't become hektish along with his value. So his value, you have, he's worth $100. So the master owes the Beis Mikdash $100. But he wasn't makdish. The ebed's ma'isi yadayim. Now there is a case we talked about in Sota, I think. We had a case where a master is makdish the hands of the Eved, and they were talking about that the Eved has to work less than a pruta at a time, et cetera. There's a whole arifus about that. But he was saying he was only makdish the domim of the Eved.
What is the Beis Mikdash gains
that now you owe them the value of the Eved. You figure out how much is this Eved saleable for, and that amount is what you have to pay at this makdish.
But he's
still an Eved. The point is, though, that he's like land or like a behemoth's mayor. We don't say he goes free. The answer is Homani Reb Meir. The answer is, you could say this last bride says, like Reb Meir, Dorma Eidana Motzi Dvorom Lavatola. He says, when a person is saying something for hektish, he doesn't say it Lavatola. He doesn't say it for nothing. So over here, he knows that an Eved can't be brought as a korban and can't be used for the building of the Beis Mikdash. So therefore, by using the word hektish, he must have meant dummim. So therefore, he must have meant dummim. Meanwhile, the Chachamim would disagree with that and say it could mean he didn't mean any form of hektish at all, but rather to free the Eved. In fact, the Gemara says, Mishachinam Mistabra. In fact, it's more logical to understand the Braisa that way, because Tanisa, that it's appointed a mayor. Dechatani Sefer, because the Braise continues. The same way, if a person, if a regular Yid is Makdish himself, same thing, Oisev Oichel, it means he's allowed to continue working and earn money and eat from it, Shalahikdish Abadama, because he was Makdish only his value. So, Yam Shlemer of Meir, if you say that the whole Braise is like a Meir Shaker, then we understand that it all works out. Eli Amit Rabbanon, but if you say the Braise is according to the Chachamim, and say that when you say that you don't necessarily say when a person is machdish, then it means that he's being machdish the value of it. So b'shleima avder l'domim koi. I understand if he's machdish the eved, it means that he means to be machdish the value of the eved. So the eved himself didn't become kaddish, and therefore that's why the braisa would say that he still remains an eved. Ela ihu l'domim koi. But if a person says he's machdish himself, what do you mean? Is he usually there for domim? A person of ben churin is not usually sold for domim, such that we can talk about a value of his. If he said domai alai, that's different. But if he just says I'm machdish myself, how could we say even that it includes domim? Therefore, that necessarily brings us to say that the braisa must be like Reb Meir, who says that yes, even if a person says I'm machdish myself, then it means that he means his domim. And the same thing, for example, Reb Meir says in other examples that when a person says a loshen of hekdish, or a lot that he's donating something to hekdish, even if the thing itself can't be donated, we reinterpret it to make it something that could be. We reinterpret it to be domim or whatever. So by the same token over here, then yes, the braisa would be appointed a mayor. So therefore, you could say no problem. Rab holds with the chachamim. And then we have this braisa like Reb Meir. Okay, so the Gemara will continue the discussion. We'll continue the discussion on this Machdir Avdoi. We'll continue it tomorrow, and Bez Hashem, and continue in general with more dinim about avodim and the ownership of them.